I'm going to be reading this morning from Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 12. The Beatitudes, and they're part of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus preached the Sermon on the Mount close to the Sea of Galilee. When we were there years ago, we noticed how good the acoustics were right at that spot. And we decided it was a great place to preach a sermon, and I guess that's why Jesus chose that place. This first part of the Sermon on the Mount, called the Beatitudes, describes what a true follower of Jesus should be like and how that person should live his or her life. So let's read Matthew 5, verse 1. Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. It seems to me, even though there was a multitude, that Jesus was speaking primarily to his disciples in this crowd. If I'm right, I think it was because they were going to be responsible for the gospel message after Jesus' ascension and needed his teaching the most at that point. So let's look at these blessings that he talks about individually. From verse 2, then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Poor in spirit isn't speaking about a person's natural disposition, but about a choice he has made. The poor in spirit are those who recognize their own helplessness and rely on God's power. They sense their spiritual need and find it supplied by the Lord. The kingdom of heaven, where self-sufficiency and self-promotion is non-existent, belongs to such people. Verse 4, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. This doesn't imply mourning because of the difficulties of life. This mourning is for the sinful state of the world and its disregard for salvation. They mourn when they fall short in their own weakness and the terrible state of sin that the world lives in. We should be greatly troubled by these things and mourn over it. But a day is coming when that mourning will be taken from them and they will be comforted, when God wipes away every tear from their eyes. Revelation 21 verse 4 says that, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Verse 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. These people may be like me, temperamental, prone to anger, and difficult. But through the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit, they can become meek. The meek person is gentle and mild in his own cause, though he may be a lion in God's cause or in defending others. In the world's system, the aggressors push the meek out of the way and into the fringes. But in the millennial kingdom of our Lord Jesus, the meek will literally inherit the earth. Matthew 25, verse 21, Jesus said, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Excuse me. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Those who thirst for righteousness are promised satisfaction. They desire righteousness in their own lives, honesty, righteousness, and justice in society, including the justice system, and holiness in the church. Just like in verse 5, this will be the case in Jesus' millennial kingdom. They who seek righteousness will be satisfied because of what Isaiah 9, verse 7 says. And it says, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. To be merciful means to be actively compassionate, to help those in need, and even withhold punishment. Because God showed mercy to us when we were yet sinners. Christ came, suffered, bled, and died for the forgiveness of all our sins. We deserved the punishment, but Jesus gave us mercy. So we need to be merciful. The merciful shall obtain mercy. The mercy required for daily Christian living, and the mercy on that future day when our works will be reviewed. Hebrews 4, verse 16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of trouble, in time of need." Verse 8, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." A pure-hearted person is one whose thoughts are holy and his conscience is clean. And we didn't need to stop here for a second. We can't do that. We can't accomplish it. Our thoughts aren't always holy, and our conscience isn't always clean. We strive for that through the power of the Holy Spirit, and we gain ground, hopefully, and not lose ground over the course of our life. But on our own, we would be defeated. It says they shall see God. As we strive forward in this, we do see God through the word and through prayer, but we will see him literally when we are united with Jesus in eternity. Verse 9, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." These are people who don't just like and desire peace, but who actively intervene to restore peace, even when it means taking abuse and possibly their motives being misunderstood. By making peace, believers manifest themselves as sons of God, and God will one day acknowledge them as his sons because they bear his family's image. Romans 12, verse 18, "If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men." Verse 10, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." These are people who are persecuted for doing good. Doing good for righteousness' sake condemns the ungodly and sometimes brings out their hostility. A righteous life exposes an unrighteous life. The kingdom of heaven is the reward of the righteous persecuted believer. Verse 11, "Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake." This seems like a repeat of verse 10, but there is one big difference. Jesus says in this verse, "for my sake." When we identify with Jesus, the persecution ramps up a lot. Look at all the martyrs who have given up their lives throughout history. Today it's ramping up even more. The world hates Christianity because Satan hates it. Satan's time is short, and he is desperate, and he fights dirty. So don't underestimate him. When we identify with Jesus, we will be persecuted, even though it may be subtle. It is everywhere. Let's read the next verse, Matthew 5, verse 12. "Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." These verses say that the reward is out of this world. The reward is the kingdom of heaven, where there will be great rejoicing. So how do we do this? How do we become this person or persons described here? We can't. But Jesus can. By his power, courage, and dedication through the work of the Holy Spirit working mightily in us, we can be used by Jesus to accomplish these things. Philippians 4, verse 13 says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Did you notice that? He didn't say, "I can do all things because I'm really powerful and really good." He said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Will we fail at times? Oh, absolutely we will. But we keep going. So let's take up our cross and keep looking up and moving forward, striving to be what Jesus wants us to be in our journey heavenward. Matthew 16, verse 24, Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Then turn with me, finally, to end this off, turn with me to Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 3. Hebrews 12, 1 to 3. "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls."